Daniel chapter 6, let's go there with me in the Word of God. Daniel chapter number 6. Trusting that God will speak to us through His precious Word. Let's gather our text verse today so that we understand where we're getting our theme, and then we'll go back to verse number 1 and dive through this chapter. Verse number 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house and his what? Windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. I need you, recognizing you don't need me. Thank you. Thank you for what we've heard. May these messages and song not just be melody and harmony, but may the messages resonate in our hearts. And may our hearts be prepared now for the preach word. Bless now and do as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The clash between culture and Christianity. And we have been reminded now for months that this clash is ongoing. It is intense. And as best as I studied scripture, it's only going to get worse. I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible believer just like you are. I pray that God sends revival in the land of America. I pray that there is an awakening among God's people like never before. It is our prayer in our giving, in our going, in our glowing, in our sowing, that men and women all over the world will be saved with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only saved, but baptized, incorporated into the local church, disciple. And then, my friend, placed into the workforce of reaching a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer, along with the will of God, that every single person be saved. Amen. I know there's theology becoming more prevalent among our world today, that God only wants some people saved and only some can get saved, and God wants other people not to get saved and some to condemn to hell and some will never get. Listen to me. Not everybody's going to get saved, but God wants everybody saved. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long suffering to us, would not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What did Titus say in our theme we had last year? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to some men, hath appeared to only black men, hath appeared to only white men, hath appeared to only Americans, hath appeared to only people who are in a religious family, hath appeared to only certain people who God allows. No. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus died for everybody? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and had sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Listen to me. You don't have to wish God wants to save everybody. You don't have to suppose God wants to save everybody. You don't have to theorize that God wants to save everybody. You don't have to hypothesize whether or not God wants to save. All you got to do is open your Bible. God so loved the world. You're in the world, he loved you, and thank God when you didn't love him, he loved you anyway. I want everybody to be saved, but the world's not getting better. There is coming a tribulation. There is coming a falling away. We are in the Laodicean age. We are seeing a coldness and an apathy and a moving away from the things of God. We are seeing an abandonment from absolutes. We're seeing the word of God being questioned and skepticized and doubted and discredited and disbelieved. Listen to me. I don't care what they say or what somebody else says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He didn't say I'm a way. He said I'm the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And yet, we seem to be perplexed that the world does not embrace this, that everybody and their mama is not in agreement with this. This is not new. We were just 6 chapters into the word of God, and the world got so wicked, God said, I repented, I even made man, and destroyed the entire world, at least living civilization. with a flood, except Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You've heard me say, I heard one TV preacher, I believe his name was Jesse Duplantis. He was on television, one of these television evangelists, and he said, I don't preach from the Old Testament because there's no grace in the Old Testament. I want to say, Jesse, have you ever read the book of Genesis? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Gideon found grace in the eyes. Listen, as long as there was God, there's been grace. And here we are as Christians. We've gotten in on this grace. We're talking about that in Paul's life and on Sunday nights in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And yet we see a world that's moving in conflict with how God is moving. We saw that in Daniel chapter 1. It should not surprise us that we're trying to lead our marriages and trying to raise our kids and trying to pastor church. I say to all these young men that are trying to plant a church and interested in ministry, these are the best days to serve God and the toughest days to serve God. Trying to lead a ministry in a postmodern world, in a world that's full of secularism and philosophy that's anti-God, contrary to the word of God. And people have thrown out the Bible and discredited the truth and made Jesus a competitor with everybody else. And here you and I stand in the middle of this conflict trying to live for God. Aren't you glad that we have people in the Bible that prove to us they could do it then and we can do it now? So here's Daniel. He ended up in Babylon by the providence of God, stripped away from his homeland, snatched away from familiarity, delivered to this cesspool of idolatry and debauchery. And there he is, challenged to be light in dark. Can I remind you, the darker the night, the brighter your light. And here in Daniel chapter 6, here's our thought that we brought towards the table last week. Keep your windows open. Everybody say it with me. Keep your windows open. I had a church member text me last Sunday after church with a picture of him in his car with his windows all down. I said, go ahead with your bad self. Keep your windows open. But first I said, what does that mean? He said, my windows are open. Praise the Lord. Here's the thought. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Come on now. I said, don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Now, don't let your Christianity make you a bad worker, make you a bad citizen. Don't make you a Christian, your Christianity give you an excuse not to go to work and read your Bible all day long and not do nothing. You can't go to school tomorrow, young person, if you got school. You can't go to school tomorrow and say, I'm a Christian, so I can't do math and I can't do science, can't do history, can't do English. I just read the Bible all day because the Bible says to submit to the authority over you too. Amen. But when I'm saying keep your windows open, I'm saying stand for God and don't be ashamed of it. That was Daniel here in Daniel chapter 6. Now look here if you are in your Bibles at verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them that they should have no damage, that the king should have no damage. Look at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Keep your windows open. Notice, first of all, Daniel chapter 6, his elevated position. His elevated position. We see an authorized system in Darius's reign. The Bible tells us that he set over the kingdom 120 princes. So here he has these 120 princes that are going to rule over his whole kingdom. He has delegated his authority to them. And over these three presidents, Daniel was first. Now watch this now, this authorized system, this accessed superiority. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. Daniel was first. Say those three words with me. Daniel was first. Now watch this now. Somehow, in the system of authority, the child of God managed to work his way up to the top. Let me say that again. Somehow, in the system of man's authority, the child of God found his way to work himself up to the top. Let me tell you something. The cream always rises to the top. Somebody in the building has bought into the philosophy, well, if you're a child of God, you're always going to be at the bottom. You're always going to get stepped on. Nobody's ever going to pay any attention to you. You're always going to be the last in line. You're always going to be the tail and never the head. And because you're a Christian, you're never going to get promoted and you're never going to be able to move up because you got to live for God. And the principles of God will always make you the grunt of everything that goes on. And until you get to heaven, you're just going to have to suffer down here because we're children of God and we'll never ever get what's ours until we get to heaven. Listen, I'm reminded when the disciples said, Lord, we've left all. What's in it for us? Jesus said, there is no man that have left house and brother and wife and children and lands and his own life also. He said, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Listen, I can't wait to get to heaven, but I'm glad I don't have to get there to enjoy life. My dad preached years ago, we're all flying to heaven if we're saved. But bless God, if we're all on the same plane, you might as well determine you're going to fly first class. Amen. So determined by the grace of God, you're going to live right. And here is Daniel. Somehow in Daniel's life, in an authorized system, he accessed superiority. Can you go to work tomorrow, live for God, and still be on top? Can you go to school tomorrow, live for God, and still be on? Can you be a Christian on a ball team? Live for God. Refuse to use profanity. Go to church when you have practice and miss practice if you have to. And not be at the games if it means you have to miss church. Can you still move your way to the top? Daniel is proof that in an authorized system, he accessed superiority. Notice his accountable service. Notice the Bible says, the king, the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So here it is. The king Darius is in charge. He's got 120 princes. He's got three presidents over top of those princes. And the princes are going to give account to the presidents so the king can be in without damage. This is the system that's set up. Everybody was answering to Daniel, and Daniel was answering to the king. Hang on a little bit. I'm going to go somewhere with this. Now look at the admirable status of Daniel. Verse 3, this Daniel was what? This Daniel was what? Preferred. Keep going above the presidents and princes because and what? Excellent spirit. The admirable status. Write down the amazing spirit of him. And then write this down, the anticipated success of him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Anybody listening? You say, Pastor, I like Daniel chapter 6. I wish you'd hurry up and get to the lion's den. Listen to me. You ain't going to know what to do in the lion's den if you don't start in verse number 1. The problem in 2022 is we've got Christians that are trying to jump in the end of chapters and not start at the beginning. See, you can't claim lions with shut mouths unless you first start in Daniel chapter 6 and have a testimony that'll have a heathen person willing to put you in charge. And so I'm talking to the people of God today. And I want to ask you, does your testimony mirror Daniel's? We're all living in an authorized system, but have we somehow accessed superiority? Can we function in an accountable service? Do we live with an admirable status? Do we carry an amazing spirit that causes those over us to anticipate our success? I'm asking the Christian person today who's going to work tomorrow or going to work Tuesday, and you're working for a lost person who doesn't know the Bible, who doesn't go to church, who doesn't understand Christianity, who's not indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, who's never read through the New Testament, who's never been able to understand the Old Testament, who doesn't understand sanctification and justification and God running to you and God being all you need, who doesn't know what a good father is all about, who's never experienced the joy of serving God, who doesn't have the assurance of going to heaven, whose name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but somehow that person is working over you and you're working under that person. I'm asking you, are you living so much for God that that person says, I'll overlook everybody else that's like me and not saved and put that Christian person in charge because there's something going on in you that doesn't go on in everybody else. See, we can keep using our Christianity as an excuse for why we keep losing, or start using our Christianity for a reason as to why we ought to be winning. He was preferred. If we took a poll of your job, of your school, of your ball team, what would your boss say about you? What would your coach say about you? What would your teacher say about you? Well, teacher, I go to school. I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible. I'm involved in my youth group. Yeah, but why doesn't that show up on your grades? Well, sir, I'm a good Christian. I read my Bible, and I can lead you down the Romans road, but I can't find my way to work on time. Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm a preacher. I've been called to preaching, and God is working in my heart, and I've memorized scripture, and I can quote more scripture than you can quote, but I won't do my homework. You see, being a Christian didn't make Daniel have to choose between citizen and Christian. Being a Christian made him a better citizen. God in your life ought to make you better at everything except sin. Let me say that again. God in your life ought to make you better at everything except sin. You ought to be a better singer if you're saved. You ought to be a better worker if you're saved. A better daddy, a better wife, a better husband, a better child, a better student, a better player. Listen to me. You ought to be a better worker. You ought to be a better cook. You ought to be a better cleaner. You ought to be a better thinker. You ought to be a better college student. You ought to be more honest. You ought to be more just. You ought to be more dependable. You ought to be more reliable. You ought to be more competent. You ought to be more confident. Listen to me. Jesus ought to improve every area of your life. And if you're going to tote the fact that you're a Christian and be a sorry everything else, don't tell nobody you say. I told you over and over again, don't go in a restaurant, act a fool, leave a track with my picture on it. Well, Pastor, I want to leave something. Well, leave your ID. You're the one acting a fool. You got crumbs all over the floor. You sent the waitress back for every single thing. I've never seen Christian people be so demanding. Could you give me hot water to put my silverware in? The bread wasn't hot enough. The butter wasn't soft enough. The steak wasn't seasoned enough. And then you're going to eat all of them and talk about you didn't like it. There was hair on my food. Well, why you eat all of it then? That's not being a good Christian. Amen. Listen, people are watching us. There's a Darius in your life. No, he may not be saved. He may not understand church. He may not let you get off every time you want to get. He may not understand your biblical principles. He may not work in concert with your Christianity, but he's watching you. He's watching you. That coach wants to know, will you be submissive differently than the rest of the player? When you get fouled, do you cuss? Don't get quiet on me. He said, I don't play sports. Well, do you cuss? So sometimes we like to hear parts of the message don't apply. I'm glad he said when you get fouled. I don't play no sports. When you get cut off on the highway, do you cuss? Preach, Pastor. Come on now. When somebody gets on your nerves, do you use bad language? Do you have a temper problem? Listen, somebody's watching you. How you perform your secular work is an indication of what God is doing in his spiritual work. Preach, Pastor. See, if you can't be good at other stuff, God's not working in you like you say he is. Amen. I think sometimes we mistake pastors that the only thing they know is the Bible. We have to do more than just quote the Bible every day. We have to go live. Well, the best thing God ever did for me was flush me in the middle of this community to learn some things that I needed to learn, that God's word will work on anybody. Well, if you hadn't grown up in church and you hadn't had the Bible since you were a little kid and you don't come from a Christian home, you can't expect people to embrace this type of Christianity if they've not known. Listen to me. I watched God use it on people in gangs with the pants falling off the backside and never had a daddy, never had a mommy. And there have been people that have been strung out on drugs and immorality, and people had a criminal record and didn't know their daddy and wished they didn't know their mama, but the grace of God showed up in it. Listen to me. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. You take a biblical principle, put it in your life, into practice, and in Zimbabwe or in Bailey's Crossroads and everywhere in between, it will work. It'll work. Now, you're never going to get to the keep the windows open until you've got a testimony that will push you into candidacy for the enemies of God to attack you and you to come forth as gold in Jesus' name. If ye suffer, happy are ye. That's not what the Bible said. I'm glad somebody didn't yell out amen, because I would have had to embarrass you right there. If ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. See, so if you're suffering right now and you say, I'm miserable, don't tell nobody. Because you might be suffering for sin. If you're suffering for righteousness' sake, remind yourself, yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. See, you're going to get a bullseye on your back one way or the other. Either God will have to hit you with something because you're his child and you won't live right, or the devil going to hit you with something because you're God's child and you won't live his way. Listen to me. I'd rather the devil hit me and God be for me than God hit me and the devil be. You're going to have to ask yourself, whose beat are you going to march to? An excellent spirit was in him. I'm closing here. How's your spirit? You know, when we talk about an excellent spirit, we're talking about an attitude. Yeah, baby. You cannot choose how people treat you, but you choose your attitude. You know what I get tired of? Christian people with bad attitude. Raise your hand if you agree with me. Put your other hand up if you happen to be one of those sometime. Come on, that's us. Wave it in your hand. Wave it like you just don't care. All right. Because sometimes we're condemning with one hand and realize we need to point to ourselves with the other. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. I want you to go home with this thought. Do I have an excellent spirit in me? I'm going to give you about 3 seconds to think about people that come to mind with a bad spirit. 1, 2, 3. All right, don't think about them anymore. Now I want you to think about people that every time you're around them, they have an excellent spirit. Don't they do something for your mood? You ever have people in church, you don't want to ask them how they're doing because you just know that by the time you finish, you're going to be borderline depressed. Well, you say, Pastor, don't be condemning. They have a lot going on. Who doesn't? Who lives in 2022 that doesn't have a lot going on? You live in this world, you got a lot going on. But if you are a child of God, you got more going on because you're saved than you have going on because you live in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Well, Pastor, my money is funny and the gas, listen to me, I drive an SUV. You want to talk about gas? We were at the gas station the other day and my wife said, "Ooh, look at that person's car. It costs $90-something to fill it up." I said, "Hang on, honey. We finna put ours in." Amen. I mean, all these promises that they tell us, you know, campaign promises, and everybody's going to lower everything. Listen, I don't care who you are. You can't lower everything. That's why you can't have your hope in politics. Come on now. There's a lot going on. There's a lot that we're facing. There are trials and tribulations. Our young people that are living in this world and living in a state of affairs where it's hard to be a young person and try to live for God. I talk to Brother Andre all the time, and he burdened and staying up all night praying for our teenagers and what they're facing. And God help our children. That, listen to me, the world was wicked when we came up, but it's a whole lot worse now. It's a whole lot worse now. God bless you. It's a whole lot worse. But let me tell you something. We're not going to fall because the world is worse. We're going to stand because the word works. Let me say that again. You're not going to fall because the world is worse. You're going to stand because the word works. You've got to determine by the grace of God. You're not going to have a bad attitude, because I'm going to tell you something. Your bad attitude is going to disallow you to get into a position of spiritual warfare that God, listen, Daniel's elevation because of his testimony put him not just in a position to be delivered, but it put him in a position to be delivered in the presence of people that would allow him to have an impact that shook up a whole kingdom for God. Listen to me. Doing right will get you elevated. Doing right will get you persecuted. Doing right will get you delivered. But doing right after you get delivered, persecuted, and elevated will give you a chance to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. You got to ride out the whole process. See, it's serving God that's going to get you in. Serving God's going to get you up. Serving God's going to get you thrown down. Serving God's going to get you brought up again. But by the time you go through all them ups and downs with God, there's going to be a whole world that's watching you, and God's going to get the glory out of it. Now, somebody's facing a trial. One preacher said, you're in a trial. You headed for a trial. Or you coming out of a trial. Here's the pastor's question to you. What kind of spirit you got? Good morning. You ever tried to cheer somebody else up and they made sure to let you know you're not going to cheer me up? Don't even come saying that happy stuff to me. Praise the Lord. Get out my face. You don't have an excellent spirit. His amazing spirit brought about his anticipated success. Watch this now. The king looked at him and said, I like your spirit so much. I'd like to put you in charge of the whole realm. Well, he was a fluke. He was a fluke. I mean, Daniel just got lucky. Well, what about Joseph? And what about Solomon? And what about David? Come on now. Listen, if Christianity is lucky, then people been getting lucky ever since Christianity was Christianity. It's not luck. Can I give you a better word? It's favor. Amen. Now, you can sing them songs all you want to. God favors me. I'm the head, not the tail. Name it and claim it. This, I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, filled with the Holy. Look, that sounds good on paper. You got to live it. And I look at Daniel's life, and I see an elevated position. Now, hang in there, because next week, just when you get up in the limelight, here come the attacks. Could I ask you a question? If God was good enough to get you up there, isn't he good enough to take care of you while you're up there? Won't he do it? Let's determine by the grace of God. We're going to keep our windows open. Don't start pulling the shades down when you live for God. You know it's right, but you don't want nobody to know. Hey, listen to me. That all the earth may know there's a God in heaven. Let the church say amen. Our Father, help us. Help us to dare to be a Daniel. Forgive us for having bad spirits. It didn't just say Daniel had a decent attitude. Didn't even say he had a good attitude. It said he had an excellent spirit. Wow. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many say?